6 starts now.
One person that they encountered was shot.
Right now at 6, we're learning more about what led up to officers opening fire on a suspect behind a busy local shopping center.
After 2 high schoolers were shot near school, Durham Sheriff believes more can be done to keep kids safe. What he wants to see now.
After years on the job, the Wake County School Superintendent says she is retiring. The district is facing some big challenges. We'll tell you what comes next.
The sunshine and record warmth have an expiration date. The rain is on the way. I'll help you navigate around which day will be a washout.
Breaking right now, police in Rocky Mountain are investigating after one of their officers shot a man during an investigation. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. WREL Sky 5 flew over the scene, and you can see 2 guns here on the ground where this happened. This is all going on near a shopping center on Eastern Avenue.
WREL's Eric Miller is there live for us tonight. Eric, tell us, what do we know at this point?
Well, Dan, I was just talking to a neighbor who lives here off Eastern Avenue. She was really able to put the shooting into context. She says she was doing laundry at the time and had to dive for cover because she heard more gunshots than she could count. And you look behind me here in this parking lot, this sea of evidence markers, you can see why. You take a look at some of this video from the scene, you can see what we've been seeing over the last hour. Investigators processing this parking lot, the back of the Oakwood Shopping Center, over the last hour, both on the ground and in the air. More than 30 evidence markers set down next to guns, sunglasses, shell casings, and more. We know all this started just before 2 as part of an investigation into a stolen vehicle. We know 2 officers were involved. At least one of them fired their weapon. Those officers were not injured, but the man shot had to be rushed to the hospital.
Right now, we know the person was transported to UNC Nash here in Rocky Mount. They have since been flown to, Vidant over in Greenville.
Now, those 2 officers will likely be placed on administrative leave in accordance with department policy. The SBI will also likely be taking over this investigation. Dan.
All right. Eric Miller, live for us. Thanks for that live report. Also, we will continue to following this breaking news as well as other breaking news in Rocky Mount right now. A 4-year-old was found dead there. Mark Boyle is in the WREL Live Center with what we know about this breaking story. Mark.
Dan, a very busy day in Rocky Mount. As you mentioned on your screen, the very latest information regarding that child that was found dead. A 4-year-old boy found unresponsive near Hurt Drive. And investigators say the child was taken to UNC Health Nash and pronounced deceased a short time later. No cause of death released at this time, so all of this remains under investigation. We do have some video from the scene. We sent Sky 5 over there shortly after we received news of this. So while police are investigating that, they're also at the scene where Eric Miller is. We'll definitely keep you up to date on both of these breaking stories in Rocky Mount as we get new information here this evening. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Well, it was another warm winter day across our area, but as you can see here, rain is coming our way. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with what to expect. Mike?
Deb, we have a small chance for rain this evening and overnight, but tomorrow we're watching this area of rain in the Gulf that should move through tomorrow afternoon. That's the first bit. Then this bit of energy here doesn't look all that menacing right now, but this will really expand in rain coverage as it moves through the Gulf and then takes aim at us Saturday night and during the day on Sunday. So let's break down the rainfall potential. 60% tomorrow afternoon. So this time tomorrow, there should be rain on the live dual Doppler 5000 radar. 30% chance of rain on Saturday. That's going to be more likely in the evening. The majority of the day will likely be dry. 80% chance for rain Saturday night and also on Sunday. Here's how Friday shapes up on Futurecast. Small chance for a shower when you step out early on Friday morning, but by 9 a.m. it's looking dry. By lunchtime, it's looking dry. Later on during the afternoon, by 3, 4, 5 o'clock, we see some rain starting to move in. And again, this time tomorrow, we should have wet weather rolling through, but it moves out quicker than what we told you about last night. So by the time we get to 8, 9, 10 o'clock tomorrow evening, the weather looks dry. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, we'll have a closer look at what to expect for Sunday. Deb.
All right, Mike. See you in a few minutes. Thank you. An 18-year-old has been arrested for trying to drag a student into the woods on the UNC campus. UNC officials say Jordan Steele of Pittsburgh pulled a student into the woods outside a residence hall on Skipper Bowles Drive around 9 o'clock last night. Police tell us the student fought off the attacker and contacted university police. Steele is charged with kidnapping and assault.
For the second day in a row, parents at Durham's Hillside High School were called, notified that police were surrounding their children's school yet again. tonight, we're looking at what comes next for this community as they deal with these incidents. Officers got a tip about weapons hidden in the woods near the school. This all happening just 24 hours after two students were shot, one of whom died. It's been a trying 2 days for that community, to say the least. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger spoke to parents and students and the sheriff about what to do from here.
The sheriff's office searched today and did not find any weapons. Still, these two situations back to back have made it a really tough time for the Hillside community.
For the second day in a row, the lights and sirens surrounded Hillside. Davian White, a junior, says the mood is heavy in the school building.
It's very somber. It's very quiet. It's loud, but it's quiet. It's just everyone's kind of in low spirits.
We now know the student who was shot and killed yesterday near school was 17. The student injured is 15.
We need to reach our kids because the offenders are getting younger. The victims are getting younger.
Sheriff Clarence Burkhead says it's time to try everything. He wants a metal detector in every Durham public school.
Yesterday is a classic example. Even though it was off campus, I'm not so sure that weapon wasn't on campus throughout the day. And that's concerning.
Do you think the school should have metal detectors?
I do.
Parent Lysandra McDuffie says she does feel like her son is safe at Hillside and has praise for the school, even in this tough time.
So last night we spent a lot of time talking about, families and what they're going through. And, you know, we definitely, even though we didn't know the kid, we definitely prayed for the family.
Sarah Kruger, WRAL News, Durham.
Durham police say they have not made any arrests in yesterday's shooting, and because the victims are under the age of 18, they will not be releasing their names.
The leader of North Carolina's largest school district says she's retiring. Kati Moore is leaving the Wake County School District during a time when students, teachers, and parents are dealing with many issues. WRAL's Adam Owens is live now after speaking with people the superintendent works with about her decision to leave. Adam?
Yeah, Deborah, you could say Kati Moore has earned this retirement. She has been in education for more than three decades. And in the last handful of years that she has been superintendent, she has faced a number of challenges, both large and unexpected.
She's going to be tough to follow.
Keith Poston is with the Wake Ed Partnership, an education advocacy group. He has worked closely at times with Wake County School Superintendent Kati Moore and is sad to see her go.
And this has been an unprecedented time.
In the 5 years Moore has held the job, a lot of challenges have been thrown at her, from COVID to remote classrooms and the learning loss that followed.
The decisions that she made as superintendent and the decisions that we made as a board were the decisions that we felt were right at the time, giving the information that we had.
School board chair Lindsay Mahaffey has also worked closely with Superintendent Moore.
I admire Kati Moore so much.
More recently, she has had to handle major staffing issues in classrooms and on buses, the superintendent even subbing some herself.
And that's probably one of the biggest challenges that our schools are facing right now is the broken pipeline of teachers and bus drivers.
And parents' concern over school safety is high as threats are made against campuses in Wake County.
Students are growing up in it with a lot of trauma, and they've seen their parents and their families go through a lot.
The challenges that Moore faced are not going anywhere. The next superintendent will also have to take them on.
That we do have a plan moving forward.
And Deborah, that plan will get started very soon. As a matter of fact, at the next school board meeting, they're already going to be talking about what this superintendent search will look like. As for Superintendent Moore, her retirement will officially begin at the end of this school year. Deborah.
Adam Owens live for us tonight. Thank you, Adam.
Physical attacks and an Arctic blast in December raise some serious questions about our power.
Yeah, I would say as a whole, we have an extremely reliable power grid. There are places where we can absolutely improve.
Next, WRAL investigates what went wrong and what can keep your lights on in the future.
Right now, no place to go. Richard Engel takes us to the front lines in Ukraine to hear from civilians who cannot escape. Also, housing discrimination and home appraisals. How one black family put an uncomfortable hunch to the test when we see you tonight.
You are looking live at Sanford on this very warm evening after a warm day. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV, Spectrum, and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
That is a beautiful shot tonight, but we do have to follow it up with some disturbing video to show you of a woman being shot during an attempted carjacking in Fayetteville. This was breaking news Monday when it happened. The video outside of the Cumberland Food Mart. It shows 25-year-old Brittany Rich leaving the store. One of the men outside grabs her keys. She attempts to get them back. The suspect pulls out a gun and shoots her 7 times. Rich stumbles back into the store for help.
He shot me the first time. Actually, I think I was shot like 2 or 3 times before I really realized that he had a gun. I looked at him and he had a gun in his hand, but I heard it and I felt it, but I was in shock.
It's amazing she's okay, or at least recovering. Rich was shot in the elbow, thigh, back, and stomach, and she was 4 months pregnant, lost her unborn child. As they continue to look for a suspect, hopefully they catch someone soon. A question a lot of people had over the past couple of months: will your lights stay on? It's a question many Duke Energy customers had following those two events in December that left hundreds of thousands of people in the dark.
WRL Investigates' Cullen Browder takes us inside the power grid to examine what happened and how to stop it from happening again.
December was a tough month for Duke Energy and its North Carolina customers. On the 3rd, someone shot up substations in Moore County, cutting power to about 45,000 homes and businesses for days. Then 3 weeks later, on Christmas Eve, temperatures dipped to around 10 degrees. With concerns about demand outpacing generation, Duke instituted rolling blackouts, leaving more than a half million customers in the cold. Both cases raise serious questions about our power grid reliability and resiliency.
They're vulnerable to weather. They're vulnerable to other contingencies, cyber and physical.
Should all those incidents send serious alarms?
I certainly think so.
First, the power station attack. Then, not enough electricity to serve customers.
There are places where we can absolutely improve.
Duke Energy spokesman Jeff Brooks acknowledges the utility fell short in communicating realistic customer expectations during the blackouts and fully anticipating the combination of extreme cold and equipment failures.
We're going to go back and look at those forecast models and that modeling technology.
The electric utility grid is one of the most amazing inventions in the history of man, but the game is changing.
Steve Calland, executive director of NC State's Clean Energy Technology Center, says that means spreading the power load to more renewables like wind and solar.
The renewables facilities and the solar facilities in particular were not the problem. Those operated exactly as advertised.
Equipment failures reduced output at gas and coal-fired plants. Brooks agrees that solar performed well, but not before the sun came up Christmas Eve. So storage is a huge issue right now.
Storage is a huge opportunity for the company.
WRL Investigates analyzed data Duke supplied to the Department of Energy that shows demand, forecast demand, and power generation. Despite reporting plant issues and lost power purchases between midnight and 6 a.m. on Christmas Eve, numbers show power generation hit a daily high at 8 a.m., still well above the demand. Over the next several hours, demand dropped because of those rolling blackouts, but so did generation, dropping by about 30% by 4 in the afternoon. As for the length of the power shutdown for some customers, Brooks says the automated blackout system failed.
That's why you saw some of the outages extend later into the day, was that process of restoring power manually.
Critics argue the failures of Christmas Eve show Duke needs to join a regional transmission market to share planning and power.
The data shows from other states that have joined regional transmission organizations that it does in fact make your grid in your state more reliable.
As former chair of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, grid policy expert John Wellinghoff argues Duke must spread its load generation.
More resources, wider spread with more contingencies, so that these large central plants aren't the Achilles heel of our entire system.
Duke believes fossil fuel options are still necessary as a bridge to a cleaner energy future, and the utility resists calls to partner with other power producers.
It almost sounds like you're trying to hang on to your monopoly. Is that the case?
Well, the key difference is, number one, we're a regulated utility. We think we have a good, effective model here in the Carolinas. Do we have opportunities to improve? Absolutely.
And that's a process. State lawmakers are considering legislation that would require 24/7 surveillance at substations like this. And Duke is asking for a rate hike it contends will address both security and reliability. Cullen Browder, WRAL News, Raleigh.
We'll see how people respond to that that rate hike if Duke actually gets it approved.
If that happens, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Mike Mays, we don't have to really worry about the heat or the air conditioning tonight. It's been absolutely perfect weather.
Nice.
For a February 9th evening at 72 at 6 o'clock, boy, this is really remarkable. After our high of 75, which was a new record for the day, we're going to stay warm this evening and overnight, and it's breezy, so temperatures may fall to about 59, 60 for a low, and that's about it. You noticed all the clouds out there. So what's in store for tomorrow? Well, when you leave the house, probably won't be raining, but make sure you have some rain gear with you, either a raincoat or an umbrella. See, in the morning, it's a 20 to 30% chance for rain. But later on during the afternoon, when the kids come home from school or when you come home from work, rain chances ramp up. So this time tomorrow evening, the radar should be active with rain, maybe some moderate rainfall as well. But the rain should come to an end by at least 9 o'clock from what we're looking at right now. And tomorrow, another mild day. Now, not warm like we had today, but it's still very comfortable. Really no need for jackets in the morning with temperatures in the 60s when you step out. 68 is our forecast high here in the triangle. Temperatures will dip Friday evening and Friday night. We should be in the 40s when we start our day on Saturday. The low tomorrow is 59, the high 68. It's a 60% chance for rain during the afternoon. Not much going on in the morning. Now, when we wake up Saturday, we're expecting 46, 53 for the high, 30% chance for rain. And as I said at the top of the newscast, that 30% may be generous. It'll likely be dry the better part of the day. You'll see that in future casts coming up. Ramping up to an 80% chance of rain Saturday night, 80% on Sunday. Most of that coming in the morning, 35 the low, 46 the high. No snow in our forecast, but there is snow in the forecast for the mountains. Now, here is futurecast starting at 6 a.m. on Saturday. Here's our vigorous upper level low. We were talking about this all week long and earlier this week. This will start to shift to the east and southeast and then eventually move to the northeast. As it moves over the North Carolina mountains over the weekend, we'll likely see some snow break out there, frozen precipitation, maybe a wintry mix to start. So for the better part of the day on Saturday, we're just looking at cloudy skies. Here comes the rain. It begins to move in the evening. There's about 11 o'clock Saturday night, overnight Saturday into Sunday morning. Some of this rain could be heavy. 6 a.m. Sunday morning, we're seeing that. And then with the upper level low moving over the mountains, it's a cold pocket of air aloft, so it's cold enough to support frozen precipitation. So that's where they're likely to see the frozen precipitation, whereas we're just looking at rain with our high temperature in the mid to upper 40s. This is a low resolution model. Tomorrow we'll have high resolution model data getting a better idea of the outline of the rain on Sunday. I'm thinking most of the heavy rain will be in the morning. Later on in the afternoon, it'll probably end up being more scattered and then come to an end Sunday night. Rainfall totals, we're talking about over an inch for the global models. Tomorrow we'll have a better idea with the more high resolution models what we expect for the weekend. So tonight, breezy and milder. Lows will be in the 50s to about 60 in Fayetteville, 59 in Raleigh, low 50s for Roxborough. And then tomorrow it's afternoon rain likely, not likely in the morning, though. Highs in the mid to upper 60s, maybe low 70s in our southern counties. It'll be a brief bout of winter for the weekend. 53 for the high Saturday, 46 on Sunday. The morning lows in the 30s through at least Tuesday. But Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we start to warm up. Wednesday and Thursday of next week, we have small rain chances, and we could be back to 70 degrees by next Thursday. So winter doesn't want to seem to last long at all this year.
Just a brief bout. Yeah, we'll be back soon. All right, thanks, Mike.
Chris Lee is here, and boy, we can start talking about the hurricanes again. That's nice.
Yeah, they had a little break, but they're back on the ice. They're not thinking about the Stadium Series game, but we're thinking about it. Coming up next in sports, Casey Hentz spoke with former Canes goalie Cam Ward today. What he's saying before next week's Stadium Series game, he's excited about it. That's a spoiler alert. Next in sports. All right, guys, after a much-needed six-day break, the Carolina Hurricanes were back on the ice today at PNC Arena. Now, the Canes have three games before the Stadium Series game next Saturday, so the guys aren't really thinking about it quite yet, but we are. Casey Hentz takes it from there.
Day four of the build, and boy, it's so exciting seeing everything really start to come together inside Carter-Finley Stadium as we're now just a little over a week away from the NHL Stadium Series. But, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes have really pulled out all the stops for this event, and it actually all kicks off a week from tonight with the inaugural Hall of Fame game where former Hurricanes goaltender and Stanley Cup champion Cam Ward will be honored and elected as the first member into the team's Hall of Fame. Now, Ward was at Carter-Finley earlier today checking out the scene 2015, and he actually said throughout his career, he had never wanted to play in an outdoor game as a goalie. He said he thought he would be cold, but in his lone season in Chicago, he had the chance and said he was thankful for the rare opportunity.
I have to say it was one of the, you know, the coolest experiences of my career. You know, it ranks right up there, so I'm really excited for the players that haven't had an opportunity to play in an outdoor game, and then I'm really excited for, you know, the city of Raleigh and the Kaniak, you know, fan base.
Now, Ward spoke a little bit about knowing when it was time to retire, and he said, my body was just ready. So I asked him, well, is your body ready for the alumni game you're going to play in here outside also at Carter-Finley Stadium? He said, no. In fact, I'd rather be sitting in the stands just watching. But he said, I figured I'd better lace them up. My kids would want to see it, so I'll do it one last time. Casey Hintz, WORL Sports, Raleigh.
Can't wait to see it. The NBA trade deadline was wild. Last night, former UNC forward Cam Johnson was traded from Phoenix to Brooklyn in that blockbuster Kevin Durant trade. But his little brother, UNC's Puff Johnson, is the one who broke the news to him. Very interesting. Another UNC player had a brother traded. Pete Nance's older brother, Larry Nance Jr., is heading to New Orleans from Portland. Two Raleigh natives were also traded at the deadline. John Wall is headed back to the Houston Rockets from the LA Clippers after he called his time in Houston trash. And Devontae Graham is headed to the San Antonio Spurs from the New Orleans Pelicans. Don't miss out on the NFL honors tonight on WRAL. Will this finally be the year that NC State alum Torrey Holt will be named as a Pro Football Hall of Famer? We'll find out on the NFL honors tonight on WRAL, begins at 9 o'clock. I mean, this is the fourth straight year that he's been a finalist. Deborah and Dan, I know that this has to be the year that he finally gets in there and he can finally get his jacket.
Anybody who follows football at all, how is he not
there? Yeah, I know.
The man is a legend.
Right.
This is the year.
The numbers speak for itself already.
And Cam Ward is all grown up. I can't get over that. Yeah. I remember such a little kid. All right, Chris, thank you.
So thank you so much for joining us. We are minutes away right now from NBC Nightly News. Up next on Nightly, new evidence of what that Chinese spy balloon could have captured and what equipment was inside.
And tonight at 7, with many recent school lockdowns, threats, guns in schools, and actual shootings, we're looking into what state leaders and lawmakers are doing to try to solve the problem. What we found out at 7. We'll see you then.